Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where we take the news and just feed it right through Margaret's intestines.
That was unnecessary.
Oh, Margaret, I'm having fun. Come on.
That was absolutely unnecessary. Why did you say that?
Because all night long I've been hearing about green this and chicken sausage that. You know, did you find matches?
I'm still looking for matches. Why don't you have matches here?
Margaret, I got to tell you something. I don't smoke cigarettes, okay? I don't smoke cigarettes.
It happens to be something that people keep to be sociable. Do you understand what I mean by sociable?
Yes, I understand what you mean.
Why don't you have matches in the bathroom?
I'm sorry that we don't have matches in the bathroom.
Well, I'm going to have to go out and get some.
I thought you had a whole news break to go do it.
No, I was having a bite to eat. I'm very hungry.
Yeah, well, you keep on eating, you're going to have another bowel movement.
Would you tell it to shut up before I get physically...
No, you're not going to get physically anything, because if that happens again, I'll call the police.
You'll do what?
I'll call the police. You kicked this kid in the ribs.
Oh, this kid.
Yeah, it hurt.
You know something? You got a real friend in this guy, Dickman. Stay close to him. He's a real friend of yours. But let me tell you something, Dickman. I just want you to know something.
What?
He can't help you in the real world.
Oh, boy, listen to this.
No, yeah.
Yeah, man, that sounds pretty heavy.
Yeah, it is heavy. He can't... See that guy right there, bud?
Yeah.
He can't help you in the real world.
Well, what does that mean, Margaret?
Never mind.
I mean, we can stay friends here, okay? I just don't want any fisticuffs. That's all I'm trying to say. God. The Cardinals lose but clinch a playoff spot anyway. That's right, folks. Baseball is now entering the postseason. Here we are, October. It's another postseason. Once again, the St. Louis Cardinals gazed at the big screen TVs hoping for a little help. Unlike the previous night, there weren't any plans for a late night victory party. I'm sending them home, rookie manager Mike Matheny said after a 3-1 loss to the Cincinnati Reds on Tuesday kept St. Louis's postseason plans on hold for a few hours. They need to get some rest. Almost everybody stayed put, though, and Matheny said the players who were left back in the clubhouse well before the Cardinals learned they'd be headed back to the playoffs to defend their world championship. He said players who were left were back in the clubhouse. Okay, reporters were not allowed into the victory celebration, but loud cheering could be heard beyond the locked door just outside the clubhouse.
Why don't they allow reporters in there?
Because they think it's intrusive.
Yeah, they don't want anybody sticking their nose in.
Well, that is really interesting. Don't they understand that...
They understand what? You know, Vernon Dozier often comments on sporting events and the sporting life for us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to get him on the line right now. And, Vernon, I was going to talk to you just in general about winning championships as a coach. Did you heard Margaret's question?
Yeah, I did, Phil. And to answer what Margaret... She was asking something about chicken sausage.
No, I was not. I was asking... God.
You didn't hear her question?
I did. I heard her talking about were there matches and she'd eaten chicken sausage.
No, I was asking why they don't allow report. My God.
Well, that's what you asked me. Did I hear her question? I heard her running around looking for matches because she'd had a dump that...
But you know something, Phil? Would you put him on hold if he's going to talk that way?
I'm sorry. I was asked a question. I'm trying to answer it.
The question that I asked Phil for the air... Are you there?
Yes, I'm right here, ma'am. I'm sorry if I got it wrong, but I heard you say I just had chicken sausage and I need a match because it is the stink in there is taking the paint off the walls.
I did not say anything. You know what? Good night.
Margaret, you're not allowed to just leave, okay? If you leave, you're leaving permanently.
Am I supposed to sit here and take that?
Ma'am, you asked me. What did I do wrong?
Nothing. Okay, the question is as follows. I'll ask it. The question was, why do they not allow reporters into victory celebrations?
Why do they not allow reporters into victory celebrations? On what victory celebrations?
Sport? When a team wins... We had you on here to talk about the postseason baseball.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand that. I didn't understand the... It seemed like a very unusual segue. She was a moment ago running around looking for one of those powerful phosphate, those big wooden stick matches... Because she needed to burn a whole box of them.
Okay, man.
You know, he's doing that on purpose.
I'm not doing anything on purpose. I'm answering a question.
Okay, let's move off of that topic now, and now we're on to a new topic, and the topic is the St. Louis Cardinals clinched a playoff spot. I don't know. I'm imagining it was a wild card. I don't really know. Did they clinch the division? Anyway, the St. Louis Cardinals did clinch a playoff spot for the postseason in baseball, and they did not allow reporters into the locker room, into the celebratory space there. And so Margaret's question was, why not?
Oh, well, that I'm sorry, Ms. Gray. I didn't know that's what you were asking me.
Well, that's all right, but I'd appreciate if you'd listen.
I'm sorry, ma'am. The reason why they do that, Phil, is very simple. It's a very private, it's not a private moment, but it is a moment where the players want to be only with each other and enjoy in a private way, without eyes looking in on what they're doing, winning the championship. I mean, it seems pretty obvious. It's probably, I'm giving you an obvious answer, but it's oftentimes people, the reporters especially, take this stuff personally, and they think that they're not allowed to come in and enjoy the victory too. But as reporters, they should not be allowed in to see and to, you know, take notes on what they're seeing. Because again, this is a private moment. The players are engaged in activities that it's none of their business.
And but what I mean, you're making it sound. You know,
what are you talking about? Because it sounds, Phil was going to reference it, it sounds inappropriate.
That they're kept out? Or
no, what the you're making it sound as if the players are doing something in the locker room.
No, what I'm saying is that there is the players and the management and the coaches, after you clinch, we did this ourselves when we won a championship. When I was coaching college football, in that very brief time I coached in the pros, when we clinched a playoff spot, you know, immediately the press wants to come in. And you, as a coach or as a player, you want to enjoy the moment. You've got some friends there, people that mean a lot to you, a co-player or co-players or your mates, people that you want to be with, and you don't want the press coming in and looking at what you have in mind. And I don't imagine it.
What you have in mind? See that?
Yeah, your choice of words is leaving more questions than answers. That's all.
What am I saying?
You I don't know, man. It's just that when you're talking about this,
what am I saying? I thought I'm speaking English.
No, I get the general gist of what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just that you're choosing your words in a way that makes me suspect there's something more going on.
Than what? Than celebrating the...
Than celebrating the pennant.
No, there is nothing more. I'm sorry. The press is a very invasive presence, as you can well imagine, Phil, in the lives of professional athletes. Every single day of your life, you have not just fans, and certainly you don't just have the ball club that is going to be watching what you do and seeing how well you do, and you don't just have the fans that are commenting and are booing or cheering or whatever. You also have the media, and the media is, and that's why the life of a professional athlete, I think we can probably safely say, they get paid enough so that they should be able to handle these pressures. But there are times, even in the public life of a baseball player, professional baseball player, football player, which is the world that I know of. There are times, especially after you've worked so hard all year long and you finally do capture the pennant, that it's a moment for you to reflect. It's a moment for you to sit down with an individual, you know, your teammate, maybe a specific teammate. You can sit and reflect and have a moment with each other. And
you mean when you say a moment with each other, with the entire team?
Vernon, this is Margaret, okay?
Yes, I know it's Margaret.
All right. When you say that they sit and reflect...
You know, I'm speaking English here, Phil, and it's getting very frustrating that you don't know what I'm talking about.
Because you're saying things like, you sit and you reflect with a teammate or the whole team.
Yes, because if you have teammates, that if you're a catcher, who are you going to hang out with? You're probably going to hang out with other catchers or maybe a pitcher. And... that's also something that they have to deal with. When you got the press in there, and you're a catcher, you're a pitcher, you're a catcher, you're a pitcher. Okay, that's a baseball position. But in the larger context of life, that means something else. And you got to stand there and explain all this to some idiot who's wearing a bad sports shirt, weighs 8,000 pounds, has nothing whatsoever in common with professional athletes who keep themselves in shape. He's got a deadline to make. He's got his little cheap cassette recorder. He wants to interview you, and all the questions are going to be so stupid that they bring you to your knees in tears. You after he leaves, you drop to your knees and weep like an old lady, like just some old lady. Now, you don't have a great deal of love for the media after you're put through an experience like that.
Okay, that I understand. Although you weren't very, you know, obviously complimentary of reporters.
Well, I mean, reporters, Phil, sports reporters are some of the sloppiest guys you've ever seen. They're big, fat, sloppy-looking slobs. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say this.
Do you have any friends in the media?
Oh, I know a couple of guys that have been fair with me over the years. There's a couple of guys that write, you know, hey, he's not a bad guy. You know, another, you know, maybe one guy, hey, you know, I don't think Vernon Dozier ever stole a freight train, you know. But for the most part...
What does that mean about a freight train?
It's just it's a figure of speech.
What'd he say?
What is it? He want to know about a freight train.
Yeah, it's a figure of speech. That I never did anything so bad. But I think in the case of a professional athlete who's a baseball player, and you have won, and have made your way into the postseason, and you are there and...
I got to take a break here, Vernon.
Okay, I just want to finish up. And you are in that locker room for that moment, and you look into the eyes of your teammates, and now you have to understand something. What else is going on? All right, you're taking a shower. So it's natural when you have this emotional moment where you've won the pennant. You are together. You're celebrating. You are also now without any clothes. I don't want media around. And that's all I want to say about that.
Okay, well.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I know what you're thinking, and I feel sorry for you. If that's the sewer, Phil, that your mind floats in.
I'm with Phil. My mind, I guess, is floating in the same sewer.
Well, then I feel sorry for both of you. If you allow your minds to drift this way and that in the sewer that I think your minds are drifting in, sooner or later, that sewer leads to the ocean. But it doesn't go all the way to the ocean because there's a screen.
Okay, let me take a break. Thank you, Vernon Dozier. That's great. We'll be right back. World Famous, we're way late going to the break here.
Let's talk about a screen.
Never mind. We'll be right back. World Famous Phil Hendry Show. I've
Truth
never heard a guy.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry
what
Show.
I, you know, spit it out, okay? I mean, this guy takes longer to explain.
You're listening to the World Famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, now, somebody asked a question. I think it's a very good question. And the question was the following thing. They said, well, now, wait just a second here. We were talking not too long ago. We just had a little sports moment there with Vernon Dozier. Thank you very, very much, Vernon. I'm sorry that we had to rush you off the air. I don't get it.
Well, I don't either. And I would love for you, Vernon, if you're out there listening still, for you to come back on the program at some point and explain to us what this private moment...
Well, the guy is all but saying it.
Are you talking about gay sex?
No, I'm not saying that, but he's saying that there's some kind of a homoerotic thing going on because he's talking about these guys don't have any clothes on, and, well, you can understand one thing leads to another.
What are you talking about, man?
I don't know. Ask him. All right, so we're moving on from that. One piece of business we didn't finish up, and I think we had a question on this. The United States has gone, at least in the person of certain intelligence officials, and I don't know whether this was, you know, the anonymous sources. First of all, David Cloud and Ken Delanian of the Los Angeles Times report that the Pentagon, the CIA, and other U.S. intelligence agencies are assembling dossiers on suspects in the assault on the U.S. consulate in eastern Libya that killed the U.S. ambassador and three other Americans, a first step toward fulfilling President Obama's vow to bring the killers to justice. Now, there was a even more pointed article in the New York Times, which basically said this. U.S. is tracking killers in attack on Libya mission. That pretty much spits it out. And the question was, why would the United States go on record, either through an official statement or even with an unofficial source, and tip their hand to these terrorists?
What do you mean unofficial? Aren't they identified or something? I mean, if they're saying stuff, then they're not official.
No. That's not how it works. Margaret, you're a reporter.
Well, Bud, what it is this. They'll give the green light to someone to say something, even though all appearances are it's off the record. It's actually on the record.
What?
What I'm saying, boy, if I've got to explain this to him.
All right, I'll do it. Basically, what they're saying, Bud, is the following thing. They're making it look like, ooh, there's a leak. When in point of fact, there's no leak at all. They wanted the information to get to the press.
Why?
I think the reason why this information is being given to the press is because they want chatter. They want what I guess the intelligence guys call it chatter or noise.
Yeah, they want people to start using cell phones. What? You mean the terrorism?
Yeah, the terrorists. If the terrorists know that the United States state, you know, the U.S. CIA is on their ass looking for them, actively trying to find them. One of the things they're bound to do is start communicating with each other or communicating with individuals that can hide them. And that's exactly the kind of thing that the modern day intelligence operative, the modern day intelligence apparatus, intelligence gathering apparatus of developed countries, that's what they like. That's what they look for. That's what they want to find. They want to find out where are the cell phones. We track them. That's how they found, didn't they find bin Laden that way?
Well, not exactly, because they got bin Laden by following a courier.
Yes, that's right. That was not the cell phone.
Well, at some point they were tracking electronically what was happening. Probably the couriers, you know.
No, I did not see anything about them tracking electronically.
Well, Margaret, they did, because they had all kinds of photographs, and they had to at some point track. Look, once you know the guy's a courier and he's on his way to a house that you're pretty sure bin Laden's in, you want to keep track of that guy.
Of course you're going to want to keep track of him, but you do that by following him at a distance.
Yeah, they probably like hiding.
What do you think this is, man? Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego or something? What do you mean?
What are you talking about, Carmen Sandiego? I'm talking about...
Well, you guys are... This is like some board game where there's a guy, spy versus spy.
No. I think what Margaret's trying to say, if I may, Margaret...
Yeah, go ahead, please, Robert.
I think what she's saying is basically this. The electronics is going to be a tip-off. So when we found out about bin Laden and we found out about bin Laden courier, we followed at a distance. You know, you wear sunglasses and
probably in a white, maybe a white hat. Not a white hat, but not like in Spy versus Spy. But they got on sunglasses and probably a Panama hat.
Because it covers up the face.
You guys have got to be putting me on. You just gave me the whole Spy versus Spy thing, and you guys are saying, oh, this is Spy versus Spy. You guys got something out of a comic book there.
Why?
Hold on, Bud. Why would you say it's out of a comic book? It makes far more sense that you've got boots on the ground. Do you know what boots on the ground are, Phil?
Yes, I know what boots on the ground are.
You do?
Yes.
What are they? Watch this. Go ahead, tell us.
Watch this?
Yeah, Bud, Robert, watch this. What are boots on the ground, Phil? Well, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you. You think that's a real big question? Boots on the ground means people. People.
Exactly. You need human beings.
Margaret, I'm not denying that. I'm trying to tell you, and these knuckleheads, okay, that along with the boots on the ground, you got to have... Nowadays, electronic surveillance is a routine. And you guys with their wearing shades and a big Panama hat and their phone...
Well, you have to laugh at us about it.
Yeah, I think that's disrespectful.
I do, too.
Well, you guys you're asking for it. They're following behind him. They got on a Panama hat, shades. Are they hiding behind palm trees?
I would imagine if they're in a restaurant that has potted palms in it, yes.
Well, I'm here to tell you guys that you're right out of a comic book, and...
Oh, okay. Well, gee, Excuse me, 007.
Yeah, 007. Yeah.
Shut up. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
This is 007, man. Where's 008?
Yeah, that's a good one. Where's 008?
008? It's probably with 009.
Okay.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
So we have a, you know, as you know, and I've been giving you little drips and drabs and not a whole, not giving you the whole buffet, but we are planning and actively rehearsing, and we'll be beginning the first stages of promoting, using social media, etc., a one-man show based upon our radio show here. It will be performed in venues that, it'll be performed in significant venues, and it will be in venues not just in Southern California, but nationally. So I've had questions from people saying, well, is it going to be coming to my town? I don't know the specific places. I do know that we're talking about not only Los Angeles, but New York City and other venues, other locations. But that it's a ways off, and believe me when I tell you, I will let, well, the first people I'll let know would be our backstage pass members during our during our pre-shows and during our Phil TV moments. But then I will also let my audience, my radio audience, know. And I'm really excited about it. I just am, man, because the thing of it is, you know, what we do on the radio and what we've done for 22 years on the radio cannot really be categorized in any radio terms. It's a satire, but it's...
What do you mean by that?
Just... Never mind, bud. It's difficult to be talking about the satire when the satire is happening. So, nonetheless, I think it's a great place to start bringing all of the things together that we've done over the years on this radio show and presenting them to people in a completely unrestrained and untethered and unrestricted manner, which is really... I think what we've wanted to do all along, and that is just take it out and present it.
Well, you're not talking about doing a live remote broadcast.
No. God, no. This is not a live. This is not the radio show going out on the road. Not a chance. This is a one-man show. It's a theater. It's a presentation for theater.
I see.
All right. So. We will let you know all about that on our website and elsewhere as those days approach. Now then, I was going to finish up this story. It's a scary, ugly, rotten, stinky story. Authorities are still trying to determine what happened to a farmer near Riverton, Oregon, who apparently was eaten by his hogs. God. Whether the animals attacked him or he collapsed inside the pen is unknown. Now, this is written by Kim Murphy. Kim Murphy wrote it for the Los Angeles Times, and Kim Murphy wrote this article this way so it would be picked up nationally and perhaps placed in other newspapers, and Kim Murphy will suddenly have some name recognition with this story. Why do I say that? Because I don't think it takes a brain surgeon. And I don't think, you know...
But, you know, there's a tradition of a hog attacking.
Is there any... That's a very good question. Is there any tradition... Is there any information in the literature... And again, Phil, what we're talking about here is the literature. And by literature, I mean in the writings that have been done by, about hogs in the literature. Okay?
Yes, in the literature, yeah.
All right. Is there anything in the literature that would indicate that the literature about hogs and...
Yeah, about man-eating hogs.
Yes. In all of the books that have been written about man-eating hogs... If,
no books written about man-eating hogs.
Oh, well, look at the authority on man-eating hogs.
Yeah, you don't know, Mr. Henry, the books that are out there.
Okay, but I mean, there must be... I don't know where you would look for a literature like that.
Well, I would think the police would know. I would think that the forensic individuals would know. I would think that certain forensic farmers... farmers that are, in other words, farmers that are engaged.
What do you mean by forensic farmer? What is that?
Well, what I'm saying is farmers that are engaged in the raising of hogs as well as the solving of crime. So I don't know.
Yeah, but there's got to be,
a farmer detective.
A farmer detective. Well, now I've heard it all.
Here he goes now with his condescending laughter.
Now I've heard it all, man. A farmer detective, huh?
What are you laughing about, Mr. Ellie?
Are you people serious? Are you trying to tell me that, there's got to be a body of literature written about man-eating hogs if for no other reason than there's a lot of farmer detectives out there? Name me one.
I don't know, Phil.
Yeah, you're not going to know about it because they probably work plain clothes.
No.
Well, let me guess. They work plain clothes, I know, in a straw hat with a pitchfork.
Stop being a smartass.
You know, Mr. Leonard, there are people out there that are dying every day that a farmer, well, I don't know, but maybe.
See, you're embarrassing Robert, now I can't spit it out.
Well, how about if you spit it out, bud?
Okay, I'll go ahead and I'll risk being laughed at by you.
It's all right, bud, you have the courage of your convictions.
Yeah. You don't know that there's people that sacrifice a life every day to be a farmer detective farmer, okay?
Yeah, and what about what's the undercover?
I didn't say undercover. See, they're working plain clothes, and they probably wear jeans. If you're a plain clothes farmer, they're probably wearing jeans and work boots and a plaid shirt.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a really good undercover disguise if you're like, oh, let's say, walking into a bar in Midtown Manhattan.
Well, Phil, why would an undercover farmer go to a bar in Midtown Manhattan?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he knows all about what happened to the guy that got eaten by the pigs. You people, I'm telling you, you're killing me.
I find you extremely condescending. Get David Hall.
Yes, I will.
Wait, excuse me. You don't direct my staff. I do.
I understand that, Phil, but David said that I could call him if we had a problem.
Oh, and you have a problem, do you? I love it.
That's right, Mr. Henry. They have more respect on it.
You know, Phil, I got to go with him on this one.
You disappoint me more than ever, Robert. How could you possibly take any of this swill serious? Have you got him or not?
Yeah, just hold on for a minute. Yeah, Mr. David Hall, please. Bud Dickman. Yeah, we got a problem. David? Yeah, problem. Yeah, well. Yeah, he's doing it again. What's that? Oh, yeah. My mom? Yeah.
Give me the phone, man. Put him on the air, will you? What an old home week with this guy. Where is he? David, sorry to bother you, man.
What do you want? I was just talking to Bud about the 10K that we're going to be in.
The 10K?
Yeah, we're going to run a 10K.
Yeah.
Bud? You're kidding.
No, Bud's been working out. You're not the only guy that's Mr. Health. You know, I saw that picture that you put on Instagram of yourself. Boy, what a self-aggrandizing ego case you are.
Well, I put the picture there because people were asking about my weight loss.
Yeah, no shirt. Hey, folks, go to Phil's account at Instagram. There he is with no shirt, and he's all, you know.
No, I ain't all, hey. I'm just there with no... I was actually in the middle of doing a podcast, and I took a picture of myself in the mirror.
Yeah, I'll bet you did.
Okay. David, I don't know why they called you.
Well, they're calling me up because you are mocking their commentary. Now, I said to them, it's one thing if you are acting stupid, and I said I can't protect you. And I said this to you, Margaret, didn't I?
Yes, you did, but we're not acting stupid.
Well, what's going on?
Well, do you want to tell them, Phil? Go ahead.
No, don't let Mr. Harry. He'll butcher it up.
No, I think it's only fair.
I'll tell him, bud. David, I got them here, and they're all of a sudden embarking on this bit of nonsense about man-eating hogs. And I said, I was talking about this case in Oregon.
What's that?
Some guy they found who'd been eaten by his hogs.
They found him?
Well, part of him. I mean, it's a grotesque story. So Margaret all of a sudden starts in with,
oh, Phil, what's with the man? Are you squealing on me?
No, but she starts in talking about in the vast body of work that's been done on man-eating hogs, there must be a reason. And I said, what vast body of work? And she said, well, for instance, forensic farmers.
Yeah, farmers that may be detectives.
Well, I've never heard of that before in my life.
You've never heard of a forensic? I haven't either, but when she said forensic farmer, it made sense.
Does the term forensic farmer make sense to you?
In the context of any kind of criminal act committed in a barn, or I guess on the whole farm, is what you'd be talking about.
In the context, what about just regular cops?
Well, sure, regular cops. Why do they have cops on horseback? Why do they have plainclothes cops? Why do they have cops that fly around in helicopters? What do you mean cops? So they would have a cop that also farms.
I tried to tell him that, David, but he doesn't get it. He's really slow.
Phil, you got to get up to speed on some of this. Hello?
I'm here. Okay, thank you.
Well, wait a minute, Phil.
What? Get him. What got into you?
Nothing. I mean, I'm stunned. More than anything else, I'm just stunned.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, come on.
No. Not Mr. Henry, come on. No. I'll give it to you. I'm not going to argue with you. But don't tell me that I'm supposed to make the logical jump to forensic farmer or farmer detective, because that's just not going to happen.
You just heard Mr. Hall say that not a logical statement would be about a farmer.
I just heard Mr. Hall agree with you three nuts.
Phil, characterizing us as nuts is not going to press your point home.
Yeah, you want to press your point home? Here.
Put your finger through your zipper.
Well, you're asking for it.
No, I'm not asking for it. I've never in my life heard of a forensic farmer, a farmer detective, or any kind of nonsense like that. And I got money that says, Margaret, okay?
Phil, a fool and his money are soon parted.
I got money that says you can go into any library in America and you will not, I repeat, you will not find any volume on forensics having to do with or written by a farmer detective.
And if I find one?
What do you want? What do you think? $10,000.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, are you kidding?
No, $10,000. You want to go it or don't you?
Oh, look at you. You all scrunched your face at $10,000. God, you were, Phil, you're very ugly when you're angry.
$10,000. You want to go?
Yes, I'll go. You're on.
Bye-bye. I'm going to help you look for that book.
Yeah, good luck. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret's going to go out and scour the libraries of America now for this $10,000 bet and find a book written by a farmer detective.
Or a forensic farmer.
A forensic farmer, yeah. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And now time for Iron Swine on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, and this time Iron Swine on the Phil Henry Show. Iron Swine is out, and he's out, and he's farm hunting.
Yeah, Iron Swine is farm shopping with his girlfriend.
What's the name of his girlfriend?
Betty or something. I don't know, Susie. And they're near the real estate agent.
Yeah, Mr. Iron Swine, what about this farm here?
Yeah, I'll take it. This bitchin' farm, has it got hogs?
Sure does.
All of a sudden...
Ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling.
Hello, Iron Swine.
Yeah. Hey, you gotta come out here, man, because the farm right down the street from the farm you just bought...
Yeah?
The farmer is... He got eat by a hog.
I'll be right there. And Iron Swine goes to the farm. Hi, I'm Iron Swine.
Yeah, Iron Swine, what do you think happened to this guy?
Looks like he got eaten by a hog. All that's left of the guy is his hat and his wallet.
What's the wallet say?
Oscar Meyer.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
Another crime solved by Iron Swine, farmer detective. Oh!
Yeah, man, Iron Swine, a farmer detective. Oh!
No, he's not a farmer detective.
Oh!
Very good, Bud and Robert. That was outstanding.
Yeah, Iron Swine, the farmer detective.
No, he isn't. You can't just make it up like that.
What are you talking about? Iron Swine bought a farm.
What do you mean Iron Swine bought a farm?
Well, he did. He closed on the farm and then had to go report for duty.
He closed on the farm.
Oh, really? It went through escrow, huh?
Yeah. So Iron Swine closes on his farm. Okay, thank you. That's a very good Iron Swine. Very good, you guys.
Yeah, see, that proves it.
Yes, sure, it proves it. You're right.
Well, Phil, I mean, you don't think it does?
Of course it doesn't. Iron Swine closes on a farm, and oh, by the way, Iron Swine, we need you to come out here and solve the crime of the eaten-up farmer, you know?
Yeah, but theoretically, excuse me.
What is it with everybody belching around here?
I didn't belch.
I told you why I belched.
Don't do that, bud. It's not gentlemanly.
Sorry.
Now, so you think you guys have proved some big point by having Iron Swine close on a farm. Why the hell is he buying a farm?
What's his name, man? Iron Swine.
Yeah, he always wanted to be a hog farmer.
No, man. That's not why you called him Iron Swine. You called him Iron Swine because of swine flu. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so what? I can change my mind. Now I'm saying it isn't.
You can't do that. You can't just change the rules of the game. Everybody knows Iron Swine, okay? You've been doing it now for a few years. You've been doing it ever since the stinking swine flu.
Ever since you got swine flu is on account of why I did it.
Okay, fine. But that's why you called him Iron Swine, because of the damn swine flu. It ain't about freaking swine as in pigs, you know.
Well, so it is, because that's a swine flu come from swine.
All right, fine. Jeez, guys. All right, look, you know, I'm not going to argue the point. I would suggest that you guys, if you don't believe me, that's fine. Go ask any cop, okay?
Well, what do you mean, go ask any cop? The regular police aren't going to know about that.
What are you talking about, regular police? Don't you think cops know different kinds of, what kind of cops there are? Don't you think a regular cop would know if there's a motorcycle cops, helicopter cops, you know?
Well, I don't know. If I walked up to a regular police officer and say, excuse me, do you have a farmer detective division?
Yeah, he'd probably look at you like you'd lost your mind. And you know why? Because he doesn't have a farmer detective division.
You, what about like in, remember when we saw,
I'll give you, here's where they may have a farmer detective division, like in Kansas, okay?
Yes, when we saw Capote.
Yeah, all right. Now, they have the Kansas Bureau of Investigation.
Why do they have that?
Why do they have what, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation?
No.
Because they have the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. They needed it at some point. I don't know.
Well, did we already get the FBI?
I know we have the FBI. The FBI, at the time that the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, I know why the GBI, which is the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, was formed.
Why?
Because of the racial stuff that was happening in the South. There were people bombing synagogues. There were people bombing churches. There was all kinds of terrorist stuff going on during the Civil Rights Movement. And so the state of Georgia formed the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. It was a special law enforcement branch that would investigate these kinds of crimes, and now the GBI essentially does the same thing. They investigate murders, homicides, bombings, acts of, you know, crimes of violence that overwhelm the local police departments. They have a state bureau, so they don't have to go to the FBI, see?
Is it the same thing with this Kansas Bureau?
Yeah, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. I don't know how that started, I mean, but there must have been a time when the people of the state of Kansas decided they needed that. And they didn't want to go off to the FBI with every little crime. But I'll give you this much. I'm sure that in places like Kansas, in places like Nebraska, the industry of those states, being agriculture, probably that interfaces with law enforcement a lot, you know.
What do you mean interface?
I mean, they probably more times than not are dealing with some kind of violation of the law.
Having to do with a farm animal.
I mean, okay. I mean, I give up, you know.
Well, it does stand to reason.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're probably having to deal with that a lot. So you win, okay.
Do I win my $10,000?
No, you do not win your $10,000 because the bet was you got to find a book.
Yeah, that's right, Margaret. You got to find a book on a farmer man.
You mean like a farmer detective?
Yeah, farmer defective.
Not a farmer defective, a farmer detective. And as far as, you know, investigating crimes against farm animals, I don't know if that's what they got to do or not, you know. But I don't know how many states have those guys. The state of Texas has the Texas Rangers. And the Texas Rangers are, they're not exactly like the Cape. Maybe they are. And
what about Florida?
Florida has the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. There's all kinds of stuff in all kinds of states that do all kinds of things. I don't know what the hell they got in these states, but I know the KBI and the GBI.
They have like a CBI, the California Bureau of Investigation?
No, they got the freaking Highway Patrol is what they got. Okay. That's all I know. I thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Please do join us online at philhenryshow.com as we will be posting our show log for you tonight, as soon as we are done with the show. We always put our show log up, and you're certainly welcome to join us over at philhenryshow.com. You can see what we did and what we're planning on doing. There's all kinds of show information at philhenryshow.com. And while you're over there, get a backstage pass. A backstage pass which allows you to access literally thousands of hours of audio on our website, philhenryshow.com. I thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.